In Sri Lanka, which lost some 30,000 people in the tsunami disaster, signs of life are beginning to return along the devastated beaches. People have been returning to the remains of their homes and clearing up the contents, but it's not that simple. Kalmanai is on Sri Lanka's east coast. It's part of the Ampara district, where 13,000 people died, making it the worst-hit area in the country. NPR's Philip Reeves has just been there and sent this report.
The tsunami knocked down so many buildings here that people say it changed the area's acoustics. Now, after days of shock and grief, there's the sound of work. A tractor chugs away amid the utterly devastated landscape. People rummage through buildings, most now just piles of rubble, hauling up broken tables and beaten-up wardrobes and shreds of clothing. They load whatever they can find onto trucks. The task of rebuilding seems unimaginably large, such as the scale of the surrounding destruction. But this activity has nothing to do with reconstruction. It's a salvage exercise.
I've lost the gold and cash, electric motors, electrical fittings, etc.
Badal Din is a fisherman. He's loading up a small trailer with what looks to be little more than junk.
We take care of our belongings or what's left of it till 6 o'clock, and after we go, the looters move in, and we've lost so much of stuff. That's the reason why we are transporting the little bit we can salvage to a safer place.
Like many thousands of others here, Badal Din has lost friends and relatives in the disaster. His wife and children were injured but survived. He's lost his house and his livelihood, and his land's become worthless. After all this, he must now compete with gangs of looters for what remains of his life. Speaking through an interpreter, he says many of the looters are refugees, acting out of desperation, but says that's no excuse.
They are doing that for survival, but at the same time, we are also affected. So I have to blame them for what they're doing, because everybody is affected.
Fisherman Imalia Lebi has also come to salvage what he can from his home. He's among the thousands in Kalmanai now living in refugee camps. He's lost 11 relatives. The looting's only worsening a situation with which he's already struggling to cope emotionally.
My mind is in a mess, it's in turmoil. And added to the fact, I have this constant fear that the seas will rise again.
This fear of the sea is expressed by many victims of the tsunami catastrophe. They'll go to the beach in the day and keep the looters at bay, but they're too fearful of another tsunami to risk staying around their wrecked homes after dark.
We go by 6 o'clock because we are scared to stay here after dark. Since there's no electricity in this area, it's extremely dark, so as soon as it gets dark, they move in.
And Badal Din says the looters, who know the devastated area is far too large for the police to guard, have been exploiting that fear. He says they deliberately drive people away.
Well, what the looters actually do is instill fear in our hearts, raising false alarms of another tsunami.
Ask Sri Lanka's tsunami victims if they plan to rebuild, and they tend to reply they've no idea. They say they need the government to provide them with a new home and job. Some point out there's now a ban on building within 300 metres of the sea, so they can't rebuild there. Spare land's hard to come by in Kalmanai, so they don't know where they'll eventually live. But Mohammed Kasim Ledi is an exception. He runs a plant that makes ice for packing fish. He too is out salvaging and protecting his premises from theft.
Motors, water motors.
All our water pumps and electric motors have been stolen by looters.
But he says he plans to have his ice plant back in business in 9 months. And he has a suggestion for dealing with the looters who stole his stuff. Chop off their hands. Philip Reeves, NPR News.